Almost a year had passed since we had applied for our immigration permit and submitted all the required documents to OVIR. Typically, the decision to grant or refuse immigration permission would be rendered in 3 to 4 months. In our case, the delay was unusual and nerve-wracking. Every extra day of waiting for the answer was becoming increasingly torturous. After 5 months, I began to call OVIR's office every couple of weeks to inquire about the status of our application. The answer was the same every time. Your case is under review. You will be notified when a decision has been made. I was staring into the bone-chilling abyss of the unknown.
It's kind of strange, but at least you didn't get a refusal.
I know that shitty feeling, Zhenya said to me one day.
I experienced it a few years back. But lately, the tide is starting to change. There is a very strong movement erupting in the Western world right now to compel the Soviets to abide by the provisions of the Helsinki Agreement they signed on the issue of the freedom of emigration and the reunification of the families separated by war. Keep your fingers crossed, because anything could happen soon. In the meantime, listen to my advice. Live day by day, and try not to think about it if you don't want to lose your mind. Just numb yourself to it. It's all designed to break your spirit. Do not succumb to it. Deep inside, keep your dream alive and try to hold on to your job for as long as you can. Things can always get worse. Zhenya, I love you, man, but your sense of optimism is mortifying, I replied. Fortunately, as Aunt Anna had predicted, Dr. Plotkin was true to his promise to keep Lara and me employed. The emergency department and its surgical team were chronically short-staffed, which meant that Lara's position was somewhat secure as long as she was willing to work extended shifts and some weekends. To secure my employment, Dr. Plotkin personally handpicked what sorts of patients were assigned to my service. I was given an exclusive stream of celebrities, elite athletes, and Communist Party apparatchiks. For mostly selfish but practical reasons, no one else among our staff wanted to deal with that specific group of prima donnas anyway, since those patients were the highly demanding, pain-in-the-ass, hard-to-deal-with individuals, and any little mistake or legitimate complication could become a career-breaker. So my colleagues were happy with Dr. Plotkin's choice and almost sympathetic and grateful to me for sifting the unpleasant and burdensome responsibility away from them. Time and again, the head of our HR department, Ivan Salupo, a known KGB liaison, applied pressure on Dr. Plotkin to get rid of me. Dr. Plotkin always used the same excuse. The continuity of medical care for the distinguished Comrade X could not be jeopardized, and if Comrade Salupo himself were brave enough to assume personal responsibility and accept the inevitable liability, he was free to do so on his own volition. Salupo, as a true bureaucrat, did not have the guts to assume any responsibility and cautiously backed off every time, impatiently lying in wait for the next opportunity to strike.